Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to have all of you here this morning. God bless you, and we're thankful for everyone online as well. We are going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast called us, that thou hast reached down from heaven, that thou hast brought us to this place where we can come together and worship thee in spirit and in truth, for we know that thou art seeking such to worship thee. We ask, Lord, that thou would fill our hearts and fill our minds and make us receptive to thy spirit. We pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to the prompting of thy spirit, and help us, O God, to draw nigh unto thee here this day. We ask, Lord, that thy anointing would be here in this place, that thy Holy Ghost be upon all thy people. And we pray that each and everything we do here today would be pleasing in thy sight and according to thy perfect will. Bless this entire service, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, before we begin, I need to check with something here, because we got a song request, and I don't know if you know this. 146.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay. Well, Shirley knows it. I don't, so I guess we'll try. 146 in the hymnal. Hold the fort.
Oh boy. What book is it in?
Melodies of Praise.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Just going to try learning as we go.
Thank you.
Praise God. Well, that was the first time I ever heard that song. But, you know, that's how you learn. And if Shirley knows it, we can always give it a try. At least that way we have music, you know, and you just kind of try to follow along. Praise the Lord. We are going to turn now to number 71 and sing Joy Unspeakable, 71.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit here at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy and sweetness.
Turn now to number, make sure we got this right, number 269 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, Springs of Living Water, 269.
Sweet.
241 and sing Whosoever Will, 241.
Tell the joyful news wherever.
Praise God. Well, we do have a couple of requests that have come in. We're going to turn to number 227 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal and sing Under the Blood. This is one of the requests, 227.
Thank you.
have another request from one of our online listeners. This is for number 289 in our hymnal number 2. If you can find hymnal number 2, there should be a big sticker right on the front. Number 289, Battle Hymn of the Republic, 289. Hymnal number 2. Red book.
Okay. This other one here is confusing. Okay, sorry. Turn to number 305 in the same book. Oh, how I love Jesus. 305.
Oh,
our Bibles in a moment, but before we do that, we still need to take up the collection. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? And then we do have a prayer request to take care of after that. Thank you, sir. And just a reminder to you all, we're having a grill out next week. So we're going to be making lots of burgers if you want one or two, whatever. There should be plenty. And, of course, if you want to bring a dish to pass, you're more than welcome to do so. But we will have burgers and beverages provided by the church. So praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we come to thee thanking thee, O God, for thy goodness and for thy mercy towards thy church and towards thy people. We stand in awe of thy goodness, and we thank thee, Lord, for thy provisions. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast kept us and sustained us, and we ask, Lord, for thy leading hand to continue to direct our paths. We ask, O God, that thou would reveal to us thy perfect plan and help us to always be obedient to thy will. We ask for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy and mighty name. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we are going to pray for Bob and Jean. I was informed this morning that Jean's brother passed away just the other day, so she's grieving that loss right now, and that, we know that's very difficult to lose a loved one, so we're going to pray for Jean, and we're also going to pray for her husband Bob as they go through this time of grief. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day on behalf of Bob and Jean. We ask, Lord, that thou would be with them. We pray, Lord, that thou would comfort them in this time of loss and in this time of grief. And we pray for all others who are affected by this loss, that thy tender mercies would be revealed to them and that thou would comfort them as they mourn this loss of a loved one, Lord. For we know how difficult it is to say goodbye to one that we love, but we pray, Lord, that thy hand would be upon them. For we know that thou art able to mend our broken hearts. Thou hast made us, and thou art able to repair us, even our broken hearts, Lord. We pray for Jean. We ask, Lord, that thy hand would be upon her. Comfort her right now, we pray. Let her feel thy touch. Let her feel a closeness to thee, we pray. And we pray for Bob, that thou would be with him as well. We pray, for, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon him. And we ask, Lord, that thou would be with them as they go forth and as they go through this process. We ask, O God, that thou would be with them every step of the way. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's time for us to open our Bibles. And I am excited to do that. I'm always excited to do that. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that we find in Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to be diving into this topic in just a little bit, the topic of meekness. But I just want to say at the outset here that I am very thankful for something that occurred this past week. I think you probably all know what I'm talking about. I view it as really a miracle. And honestly, if you had told me 5 years ago that the Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe versus Wade, I never would have believed it. But that's exactly what they did, and now abortion is illegal in several states. A lot of them had trigger laws in place that took effect immediately as soon as the law was passed down. And they said on the news that there were people on their way, women on their way to their appointments in their cars when the decision was handed down, and they got a call saying they couldn't come anymore. So that, I believe that's actually wonderful. But one thing that's really nice here, we live in the state of Wisconsin, and Wisconsin had a law on the books that banned abortion. I believe it was passed in 1849, and it bans all abortions except in the case when a woman's life is threatened. So Roe versus Wade superseded that, And because of that, women were allowed to get abortions in this state after 1973, when that decision was handed down by the Supreme Court. But when the Supreme Court overturned it, the old law in Wisconsin was immediately put back into full force. And I have a report here from Wisconsin Public Radio that says, no Wisconsin clinics are providing abortions as of Friday after the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, that's wonderful. And, you know, it's amazing because just on Friday alone, the Supreme Court saved 70 lives in the state of Wisconsin. Those were the number of appointments that had to be canceled because they could no longer have this procedure done. But we need to keep praying because people are extremely angry over this decision. In some cases, they've become violent. There have been a lot of acts of vandalism. There's been a lot of acts of arson against pro-life pregnancy clinics, against churches all over the country. And there have been protests, thousands of people protesting in cities all over the nation. And I was reading this morning that it said that the protests so far have been mostly peaceful, but there have been some disturbing incidents. And I believe it was in Los Angeles where one protester attacked a police officer with a blowtorch and tried to set him on fire. So these people are angry. And, of course, when they perform these acts of vandalism and so forth, what they'll do a lot of times is they'll spray a message on the buildings that say, if our abortions aren't safe, you're not safe. So obviously they are raging, and it's really something. They're throwing a massive temper tantrum. And remarkably, all of the Supreme Court justices right now are under 24-hour guard. They have to have armed guards at all of their houses now. You know, a couple weeks ago, a man actually tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh. It was his plot. And it said on the news that he was upset over abortion and guns. But I thought that was kind of ironic. If you're upset over guns, why are you trying to use a gun to kill someone? Yeah. But when people get angry, they stop being logical and they lose all sense of reason. But, you know, this is certainly a wonderful thing, and hopefully this decision will hold. I know we have to watch out because if the Democrats gain power in the Senate and hold power in the House, they're going to try to make Roe versus Wade the federal law of the land so that they can get abortions going again in all these states. So, this November, it's going to be quite an eventful time, to be sure. But anyway, thank God that as of right now in this state, doesn't it feel nice to live in a state where they can't kill babies? I just think that's wonderful. So, of course, a lot of these women are going to be going to Illinois and Minnesota to try to get the procedure done there. In fact, a group of doctors in Rockford, Illinois, have said that they're planning to expand their operations to meet the extra demand from Wisconsin. And, of course, you have all of these companies, so forth. There's a whole bunch of them, Amazon and Walt Disney. And a lot of these companies are saying that if their female employees need to travel to get an abortion, they'll cover the whole thing, even if it's thousands of dollars. So there are a lot of companies saying that. And Patagonia, the clothing maker, they said that if protesters get arrested, they'll bail them out. So we see a lot of that going on, but the war is raging, and thank God for any positive developments. And this is miraculous. I'm kind of stunned that they actually did it. That took some guts, and I'm very thankful that they followed through. So praise the Lord. All right, we are going to be opening our Bibles. We're going to be talking about meekness today. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, that list we find in Galatians chapter 5. And that list tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And of course, we've looked at joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And today, we are going to be looking at meekness. To begin with, we're going to be starting in Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37. And before we read even one verse, let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy blessings, and we thank thee for this opportunity to come before thee, to study thy scriptures, to learn of thee, to learn of thy wondrous plan of salvation. We thank thee for thy kindness and thy mercy, and we pray, Lord, that thou would be with thy people and strengthen us as we go through thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou would anoint our hearts and anoint our minds. Give us thy spirit of discernment and understanding. Help us to comprehend thy scripture, for we know that without thee we can do nothing. And we ask, Lord, for thy guiding hand to lead, guide, and direct us through thy holy word. We pray, O God, that thou would do a work in our minds, do a work in our hearts, do a work in the very core of our souls, and help us, O God, to draw near to thee. We pray that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign. There is none like thee, there is none beside thee. Thou art God, and thou art God alone. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless this time of study and this time of learning of thy word, and we pray, Lord, that thou would anoint our hearts and minds right now. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Meekness. You know, the word meek doesn't show up a lot of times in Scripture. It's in there in some very key places, though. And meekness is very, very important. When you think of meek people in Scripture, there are two that you'll probably think of immediately. One of the meekest people you'll read about is a man named Moses. In fact, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 tells us, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was also very meek. In fact, he became the meekest man to ever walk the earth when he came to this earth. And actually, Moses prophesied that that would happen. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." So there was to be a prophet like unto Moses, and we know that Jesus Christ came as prophet, priest, and king. So that was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come forth. If we're going to be Christians, if we want to be Christ-like, we need to be meek, just as Jesus Christ was meek when he was here on this earth. But what does that word mean? Well, the dictionary defines meek as humbly patient or quiet in nature. And that word humbly means in a way that is not proud or arrogant, modest. So we as Christians are supposed to behave ourselves as humbly patient people. Really, the meekness trait is I guess you could call it a super trait, really, because it has more than one quality. It is humble, it is patient, and of course we know that it is selfless. When you're meek, you don't put the emphasis on yourself, but you put others before you. And in the church of God, we are supposed to regard one another as better than ourselves. If we do that, that is a behavior that could be classified as meek. Being meek is extremely important because those who are meek have a special blessing waiting for them. In fact, when Jesus got up on that mount to give the finest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, which you can find in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he started out with the Beatitudes, one of which is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I believe what he was speaking of there is the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That new earth that is coming forth, that God has promised to those who love them. If you are a Christian, that is your inheritance. That is what you have waiting for you. When Jesus spoke those words in Matthew chapter 5, believe it or not, he was actually quoting from a psalm. And you will note, as we open our Bibles to Psalm 37, that there is a very similar verse in this chapter. Let's turn there right now, and we're going to begin in Psalm chapter 37 this morning. Verse 1 tells us, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And of course, we see that we live in a world right now that is filled with evildoers. And that can be disturbing to witness, disturbing to see. But the scriptures tell us in Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself." Why? Because those who commit these atrocities are going to be judged by the true and righteous judge. They are going to be judged by God Almighty. And nobody is going to get away with anything.
That is right.
Don't worry about that. The scriptures tell us, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And he is keeping track. He knows what we do when we do it. He sees all of our actions and he knows all of our thoughts. So when these people go out there and commit their evil deeds, unless they repent in godly humility, then they will be judged for their deeds. As such, we are instructed to fret not. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You know, some people, they look around at all the bad things happening in this world, and they look at how evil some people are, and they get themselves all worked up. And sometimes when that happens, if you spend too much time thinking about those things and pondering those things, it starts to oppress you in your mind. We can't let that happen. Yes, we need to know what's going on in the world. We need to know what's happening. But we always need to understand that ultimately God is in control. And because of that, because we have his Spirit working in us, he fills us with joy and he fills us with peace. Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Yes, these people aren't going to get away with anything. God sees what they're doing. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." This is a wonderful psalm, because this psalm tells us that, yes, the wicked will pay for their evil deeds, they will be judged, but it also tells us that God is going to take care of his people. And I hope each and every one of us can lay hold on the promises we find in this chapter. Because God is able to care for his people even when it seems like it's impossible. Even when it seems like you have nowhere to turn, God knows how to work out the details. Trust in the Lord and do good. And remember, we talked about goodness a few weeks ago. Any goodness we have, any goodness we are able to accomplish, any good thing we are able to do, is because we have the goodness of God working in us. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Some people look at that verse and they think, well, that means that God has to give me anything and everything that I ask for. No, because we're first instructed to delight thyself also in the Lord. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, you're not going to be asking for stupid things. The desires of your heart are not going to be foolish because you delight yourself in the Lord. You understand how that works. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the first step. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's not a blank check to get whatever you want. And there are many, many, many Christian people who have very little in terms of material possessions in this world. But you know what? They're rich anyway. Because you don't need money and possessions to be rich. What you really need are treasures in heaven. And we know that we have so much waiting for us when we get there. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart should be to follow the Lord as closely as possible, to know him as well as you possibly can, to walk with him each and every day. Those should be your desires if you delight yourself in the Lord. You should want to have that heart-to-heart talk with God in the form of prayer, that connection with heaven. That should be the desire of your heart, to have that connection with our God. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And of course, these are all actions that people who are meek will do. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Of course, we know that our righteousness comes from the Lord, but his righteousness becomes our righteousness. And so it's okay here to say thy righteousness. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Well, are there any people out there in the world today trying to bring wicked devices to pass? Well, Elon Musk wants to put a chip in your brain. I think that qualifies as an evil device. And of course, you have all these companies that are working on microchips that can be implanted in your hand. We're seeing that happen too. In fact, it's very popular over in Sweden. A lot of people have taken the chips. They can use it to store their vaccine records. They can use it to enter buildings. It works as a key. They can even use it to pay for their mass transit fare when they ride the subway. And they think it's just wonderful. There are a lot of evil devices out there. In fact, most of the modern devices that have been invented, it didn't take very long for men to figure out how to use those things for evil. You might think of the radio. Of course, the radio isn't nearly as popular as it used to be. You might think of television. And even television isn't nearly as popular as it used to be because most people now have moved on to what they call streaming, which allows you to watch TV without even having a TV. You can watch it on your cell phone. You can watch it on your tablet. You can watch it on your laptop. In fact, if you have a smart refrigerator, you can watch it on your refrigerator. But they take all these devices and they figure out how to use them for evil. And I think the biggest one that you could put on that list is the internet itself. Now, it's not a sin to be on the internet. There are some good and useful purposes for the internet. But we need to understand that if you get in the wrong place online, you will find yourself in a cesspool of filth. And there are lots of places that you do not want to go on the internet. You need to be very careful when you are on there. And sometimes it can be as simple as clicking the wrong thing in an email. You have to use a lot of discernment when you get your emails, because a lot of those are scams. A lot of those are what they call spam, which is junk mail. But what they do is they try to get you to click on a link, and if you do, they infect your computer with a virus. And then sometimes what they'll do is they'll hold your computer hostage, and they won't let it go unless you pay them. Yeah, but they have all of these wicked devices. But don't worry. Don't fret. Those who bring these wicked devices to pass are going to be judged by God, and ultimately they are going to fail. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, sometimes we get frustrated in this world. And maybe somebody does something stupid or unkind to you. Maybe they're cruel to you. Maybe you're driving down a road and someone cuts you off or almost hits you going down 151, and you might feel a tinge of anger. And you might feel inclined to confront that person if you're able. But don't worry about it. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And of course, we know that a big part of being meek is to be patient. So when you're patient, you wait. And of course, we know from Scripture, from the book of Isaiah, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You can read that in Isaiah 40. Yes, we wait upon the Lord. And if you are meek, you can do that. Because that's one of the parts of being meek. Being meek is being humble. It is being patient. And when you wait on the Lord, he has good things waiting for you. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Jesus obviously would have known these verses in Psalm 37. So when he was giving that Sermon on the Mount and he said, the meek shall inherit the earth, he was no doubt thinking of Psalm 37. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's why it's so important for us to be meek. Do you want to inherit the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your inheritance. And one fine day you will receive that inheritance. Either when we pass from this life to the next, or when this world ends. And of course, we don't know when that will be. But we do know that in either case, we have a wondrous inheritance waiting for us, for those who love the Lord. And you know what? All of these evildoers, all of these people who take advantage of these wicked devices, they're not going to be there. And that's what's going to make heaven so heavenly. The lack of sin, the lack of evil, the lack of wickedness. You can be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. And you never have to worry about someone stabbing you in the back. You never have to worry about people trying to commit wicked and evil deeds, because there will be no sin in heaven. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And when you get there, that is truly going to be a peace unlike any other you've ever felt. Of course, we get a little sample of that right now when God gives us his Spirit, because he is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Spirit gives us peace working in our hearts. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. People might plot, they might conspire, they might try to perform all of these evil deeds, and they might even think they're getting away with it, but God sees it. And remarkably, it tells us in verse 15 that the Lord shall laugh at him. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Yes, his day is coming. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. It may seem like you don't have very much sometimes. And sometimes we might think, oh, I'd like to have more. And people might even look around at some of these multi-billionaires who have hundreds of billions of dollars and think, oh, I'd like to be like them. No, you don't want to be like them. You know, a lot of times these people who are very wealthy, and oftentimes they're also quite famous, they find themselves quickly becoming very, very bored with life. And so they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to anything that will give them a rush, anything that will give them a high, anything that will distract them from their own boredom and from their own pain. It's a very common problem, especially amongst a lot of these rock stars. In fact, it's very sad, but a number of them have even committed suicide because they have so much pain and void in their life. Listen, there's only one thing that can fill the void in your life, and that is our God. Our God can fill the void when he gives you his Spirit. So don't worry about getting rich in this world. And perhaps, you know, some Christians do have quite an abundance. Some are blessed in that regard. And if you do find yourself in that situation where you love the Lord and you've been blessed with a lot of wealth or material things, ask the Lord how you can use that to do good. Remember, it's not a sin to have money, but it is a sin to love your money. The love of money is the root of all evil. But if you love the Lord, it doesn't take a lot of money, it doesn't take a lot of possessions for you to find fulfillment in your life. In fact, what you have, even if you're poor, even if people look at you and consider you dirt poor, you are still richer than all of these billionaires walking around out there right now. And by the way, just so you know, a lot of those guys are losing a tremendous amount of money lately because the stock market keeps tumbling and cryptocurrency is faltering. In fact, some of these people who had invested heavily in cryptocurrency have lost billions of dollars, if you can imagine. They might have to go get a job at Burger King or something now. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Not only are the meek promised an inheritance, but we are promised that that inheritance shall last forever. That's hard for us to comprehend, because we are human beings. And so we know that we had a beginning. We know that we were born. It's hard for us to imagine something that just goes on and on and on forever. But we know that God is eternal, and when he gives us his Spirit and later our inheritance, we too have the promise of eternal life. thus our inheritance shall be forever. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You know, there's a wonderful peace you can have in your heart when you don't have to be ashamed of yourself. When there's nothing for you to be ashamed of, you don't have to carry that guilt around and that shame around. There's peace in that. And when you repent before the Lord and he takes your sins away, you have nothing to be ashamed of anymore. Because when he takes your sins away, it's a complete and full removal. They're not there anymore. In fact, when you stand before him on judgment day, he's not going to remember your sins anymore. They won't even be mentioned. People have a hard time with that, you know. They say, well, I forgive you, but 5 years later, they're... might remind you, remember when you did that really, really horrible, rotten thing to me? If you want to forgive like God forgives, you have to let those old hurts go. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. The thing about fat is if you put it on a fire, it burns very quickly and very efficiently. And that's what it's speaking of here. In fact, it continues on, they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. They burn very quickly. And it's telling us that the wicked shall perish just as quickly. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And of course, when you are filled with the love of God, you're going to have a desire to help others and a desire to give to those in need. It just happens naturally. Verse 22, for such is the blessed of him shall inherit the earth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. I want to read that properly. Yes, again we see the inheritance waiting for us. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. We see that contrast time and time again in this psalm. Those who love the Lord, those who come to him in meekness and in faith, those who repent of their sins, they have this wonderful inheritance waiting for them. But those who are stubborn and refuse to cease from their wicked ways are going to be cut off. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Oh, there may be times when you stumble a bit. There may be times when you struggle a bit. But that's not the end of the story for you. You might stumble a little, but the Lord, it tells us in this verse, in verse 24, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. When you stumble, he'll grab you by the hand and pull you up. And just as Jesus did for Peter when he was walking on the water and started to doubt, he was doing fine, you know, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. He didn't sink. That was a miracle. He was walking on the water, but he took his eyes off of Jesus, started looking around at the waves crashing around him, and doubt started to fill his heart, and he began to sink. If he had just kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been fine. But Jesus, in his mercy, reached out and grabbed Peter by the hand. He does the same to us when we stumble. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, it tells us in verse 24. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Don't worry, don't fret. We serve the God who rained down manna from heaven. We serve the Savior who was able to feed 5,000 men plus women and children with just a few loaves and some fishes. Oh, he's able to take care of us. And we might need to rely on him even more in these days ahead because we don't know what the future holds. We know that it's getting harder out there. We could perceive that. In fact, I think everyone perceives that when you're dealing with inflation and these high fuel costs. Oh, there's a lot of pain out there right now. But keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will not forsake you. He'll find a way to feed you if you need to be fed. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever.
Praise the Lord.
But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, we see the contrast here. The meek shall inherit the earth. We have an inheritance waiting for us, and we are preserved forever. Those are the saints of God. By the way, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to wait until you pass from this life to the next to be a saint. You can be a saint right now. Just read the scriptures. Read your King James Bible, and you will see that saints were spoken of in the present tense. Those who were alive and well on the earth. They were the saints of God. You don't have to be living in eternity to be a saint. You can be a saint now. Of course, you will be a saint when you get there, but if you're not a saint when you're in this world, you're not going to be a saint later. We need to understand that. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints, they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. You know, you really start to see the theme in this psalm. We have an inheritance waiting for us. But the wicked, they have nothing to look forward to in eternity. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. God puts his law, he puts his word in your very heart. Along with all of those wonderful fruits of the Spirit. Oh, he can fill your heart. Your heart can be full of the goodness of God. And that's what we need. And when you have that, you don't have to fret. And you don't have to worry, because you know that God is on your side. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And a day is coming when all of the wicked will be cut off. That happens on Judgment Day. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. These people who seem to have so much, they cannot buy an eternity with God. And I tell you what, those who did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are filled with woe and regret right now. Those who have passed into eternity. And they would give anything for a second chance, but it's too late. Thankfully, that doesn't have to be the case for us, and we still have an opportunity to come to the Lord right now. In fact, as long as we're breathing, as long as our blood is flowing, as long as our heart is pumping, we still have an opportunity to come to the Lord in repentance. And when you do that, you have an inheritance waiting for you. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. That's good news, because I think we're in a time of trouble right now. But he is your strength. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. So I hope all of you are trusting the Lord today. And yes, it is so vitally important that we be meek people. Humbly patient people. Those who love the Lord, those who embrace his word. In fact, he'll put his word in our very hearts. But we seek to do his will. We delight in his way. And when you come to him with that meek and lowly spirit, he will fill you with his power and his strength. It's very important that we be meek. We're going to turn to Psalm 25 right now. It's a very important reason we all need to have meekness working in us. And I'm going to explain that to you as we go through this psalm. Psalm 25. In fact, if you read the Psalms, you'll find that meekness is a recurring theme. So obviously, meekness is very important for our walk with God. Psalm 25, and this is a Psalm of David. Psalm 25, verse 1 tells us, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You know, when you read that verse, you almost want to sing it, don't you? Because we have that song that we sing sometimes, taken from these very verses. But we put our trust in the Lord, and when you are troubled, when you feel pain and anguish, you can turn to him, and he will lift up your soul. And we talked about shame earlier, but he can take all of your shame away. So you don't have to be ashamed of anything. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And of course, we know that we have an adversary in this world. And we know that we have to fight spiritual battles. But we know that God has promised us the victory. Verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Not only is he the God of our salvation, but he is the only God of salvation. There's no other so-called God that can provide salvation. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, my tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. And this is actually wonderful. This is beautiful because we're seeing David here actually repenting before the Lord. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And verse 9 tells us, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. One of the traits of a meek person is that they are teachable. Some people are so proud you can't tell them anything because they think they already know it all. But a meek person is one who can be taught. And if you are meek, you can learn the ways of God. If you are not meek, you cannot learn the ways of God. We need to understand that. That's why meekness is so important. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Those who are willing to stop and take the time to listen. And let God speak through his word. Let God speak through his spirit. Let God speak to your heart. You need that so he can teach you his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. It is such a beautiful thing to see someone repent. Some people are too proud to do it. Some people think that they're going to feel ashamed and that people are going to scorn them for repenting. And obviously, when you do repent, you do feel shame in that moment, but you're giving your shame to the Lord along with your sins. He takes your sins away and he takes your shame away. And no true Christian is ever going to give you a hard time for repenting. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Again, those who respect the Lord, those who honor the Lord, those who fear the Lord, they are the ones who are taught. Verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Again, we see the inheritance that we have waiting, that God's people have waiting for them. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You know what? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to reveal to us things that had previously been secret, that people didn't know, that people didn't understand. But he came and he gave us that new covenant and revealed to us the splendors of heaven. And he revealed to us the inheritance that we have waiting for us. He revealed to us the manner in which we can be set free from every sin and every unrighteous act. Yes, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to establish that new covenant, and he came to take away our sins. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Sometimes you might feel trapped, but we'll let God pull you out. Verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. David here is acknowledging that he's distressed, but he's also acknowledging the one who can take that pain away, the one who can take those troubles away. Verse 18, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. And he knew that his own sins were the root cause of so much of his pain. He knew that if his sins could be taken away, his pain could be taken away. Verse 19, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So in this psalm we see the importance of meekness, because those who are meek are teachable. And when you're teachable, God can show you his ways. Let's turn now to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we are going to start right in verse 1 in the book of James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And this is remarkable, too. Here you have James, so humble. He's proclaiming that he is a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a man who was actually the half-brother of Jesus, along with Jude. Because Jesus did have brothers. Mary had more children. This was one of them. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, as we go through this chapter, you will notice that there are numerous fruit of the Spirit that get mentioned in this chapter alone. We see already joy, and we see faith, and we see patience, which can fall under both long-suffering and meekness. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect there means complete. God is able to make us complete. He's able to fill that void in our lives. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you ever feel like you lack wisdom, there's one who can give it to you, because he has an abundance of it. He has an unlimited supply of wisdom, and he is willing to give it to you. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We do not want to have faith that wavers. We need to be secure in our faith, trusting in the Lord, building our lives upon that rock, Christ Jesus. Because if you don't, the storms come and your life will crumble. But if you build your life on Jesus Christ, if you build your life on that rock, you can withstand all the storms of this life. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Oh yes, God is able to lift us up, even if you might be considered someone of low standing in society. You might be considered someone of low stature. You might be considered insignificant by other people, yet God loves you so much that even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. You know, in the church of God, no one's any better than anyone else. Even if you have a lot of money, that doesn't make you better than anyone else in the church of God. We're considered equal in the eyes of the Lord. And so there is a leveling in the church of God, where we're all brought to the same level. The low The brother of low degree is lifted up, but the rich have to be lowered a little bit. They have to come to the Lord in humility and meekness. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. People who have all these billions, they can't take it with them anyway. And time on this earth is so short for all of us, even if you live to be 120. That's just a very, very, very small piece of time. And time is just a very, very, very small piece of eternity. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's a promise. And when God makes a promise, you can trust that it will come to pass. If you love him, this promise is for you. You will receive that crown of life. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We see there's a progression of sin. It starts with temptation. And then maybe when you're tempted, you start thinking about it a little bit. And then before long, you can be drawn away in your own lust and enticed. But verse 15 tells us, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know that to be true. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, what does it tell us? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Oh, yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on us. And he has promised to be with us, to sustain us. There's no variableness there, no shadow of turning. You can trust that he's not going to forsake his people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And by the way, those are all traits of a person who is meek, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, there are some situations where it's acceptable to be angry. But most of the time when people get angry, they're angry about things that in the big scheme of things aren't that important. There are legitimate reasons to be angry, but the scriptures tell us to be angry and sin not. Be slow to wrath. Don't fly off the handle at any time one little thing goes wrong. Listen, in this world, a lot of things are going to go wrong all the time. You should be used to it by now. We need to be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We can't be led by our wrath. We can't let our wrath dictate our actions. That never turns out well. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I think most of us know what naughty means, but what does superfluity mean, you might ask. And by the way, this is the only place in the entire Bible where you find that word, superfluity. And that means an abundance. An abundance of naughtiness. lay that aside. And then when you've humbled yourself and when you are meek, you can receive the engrafted word. You have a heart that is able to receive the things of God. You have a heart that is able to be taught and led of God. And that is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't just hear the word. Lay it to heart. And let God lead you in your actions, in your words, in everything that you do. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. A glass there refers to a mirror. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Most people, most of the time, they look in the mirror, maybe in the morning, maybe when they're brushing their teeth, and they don't think about what they look like as they leave there all day long. Some people might, but they have a problem. Normal behavior is you take a brief look at your face and then you forget about it. But we shouldn't be that way with the things of God. And when you are meek, he is able to take his word and put it in your hearts. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Some people criticize that word religion. It is okay to have religion. In fact, if you're a Christian, a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have pure religion, the only pure religion. And one of the things we have to do, one of the things we have to learn is to bridle our own tongues, because it is amazing how quickly our own tongues can betray us. When you might say something you didn't mean to say, something you didn't want to say, it just seems to come out of nowhere. The tongue is hard to tame, but thankfully when God gives us his spirit, he's able to tame our tongues. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what God's pure religion is all about. Visit the fatherless and the widows and keep yourself unspotted from this wicked world. If you're going to do that, you need meekness in your life, because when you're meek, you can be taught. If you can be taught, you can learn God's ways. If you can learn God's ways, his law can be written in your heart. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be meek, because the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And we know that Jesus Christ came as a humble servant, and he was even meeker than Moses. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 tell us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you want to be like Jesus, you have to be meek too. And if you want to know the Lord, you have to be meek. And that's why it's so important. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness, and we thank thee for thy spirit. We thank thee for the love that thou hast shown thy people. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast strengthened thy people. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to lay thy word to our hearts. Everything that we have read, we ask, Lord, that it would not be forgotten. But we pray, Lord, that thou would do a work in our minds and in our souls. Inspire us to follow thee more closely. Inspire us to do thy will. And we pray, Lord, that thou would fill us with a meek and selfless spirit, Lord. Fill us with thy goodness, O God. Help us to be true to thee. Help us to walk with thee day and night for the entirety of our lives. For we know that the end result of our relationship with thee is that inheritance in heaven. For we know that the meek shall inherit the earth. And we pray, O God, that each person here would be a recipient of that inheritance. We pray for those listening online. We pray that they too would be a recipient of that inheritance. And we pray, O God, that thou would strengthen all of thy people on every corner of this globe. We put our trust in thee, for we know that thou art good and thou art holy, and we could do nothing without thee. But we thank thee, O God, that thou hast revealed thyself to us. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to keep walking by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. We are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals. We're going to be singing a song. I just need to look up the number quickly. Praise God. Number 275, Come Unto Me. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care.
I'll give you rest.
are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.